Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Cannell, for today, Sunday, June 8th. I'd like to welcome you all to the show. And I just want to remind everybody that the call-in number for tonight is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. I'm going to turn it over to Denise, and she has some beauty news.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Beauty News. Your tickets for Fame Expo, the professional hair and makeup expo in Pasadena, California, on Saturday and Sunday, June 28th and 29th at the Pasadena Convention Center. For more information on ticket prices and speakers that will appear at this year's Fame Expo, you can go to their website, which is fameexpo.com, and that's spelled P as in Paul, H-A-M-E, XPO. Again, that's PHAMEXPO.com, the Professional Hair and Makeup Artist Expo. Also, if you're a nail student, professional nail technician, or nail art fan, don't forget to register before June 20th for the Famous Nails Nail Competition that will be held at Fame Expo on Saturday and Sunday, June 28th and 29th. And for more details on the Famous Nails Nail Competition, again, you can go to the Fame Expo website, which is fameexpo.com. Marietta Carter Narcisse is offering her next lipstick lecture on next Saturday, June 14th. At 11 a.m., and the topic this month will be how to shop and prep the makeup and hair trailer. This will pretty much be for those makeup and hair people that are in TV and film. But if you're interested in a television and film career, then this will be perfect for you. This is a free online/over-the-phone seminar that you can take. And for more information on that, you can go to Marietta's website to get information as well as to register for this lipstick lecture. And it's MariettaCarter-Narcisse.com, and Narcisse is spelled N-A-R-C-I-S-S-E. So, again, it's MariettaCarter-Narcisse.com. And some beauty news that I kind of rushed through last Sunday, I just want to go over that really quickly again. But Nail Tech Robert Nguyen, the nail guy, is looking for L.A. nail techs to work in his new Beverly Hills salon, the House of Polish. And the House of Polish is located at 161 North La Cienega Boulevard, and that's in Beverly Hills, 90210. And for more information on that, you can email info@thehouseofpolish.com, or you can call him directly at 626-215-9542. Again, it's 626-215-9542, and that's the nail guy, Robert Nguyen, and that's the salon, the House of Polish. Then Sally's Beauty, help Sally celebrate 50 years of beauty. If you know someone who's beautiful inside and out, you can tell Sally's all about it. Tell Sally's about an inspiring woman who is beautiful inside and out, and she could win a $5,000 grand prize, and you could win a $200 gift card just for yourself. Also, there are $1,000 semifinalist prizes as well. You can visit sallybeauty.com /beautiful to learn more about this competition. And you need to nominate your beautiful person before June 22nd. Again, you can visit sallybeauty.com/beautiful to learn more. Last but not least, we're encouraging all of our followers to follow us on BBM. If you don't have the app, you can download it at bbm.com, and you can keep up with Beauty Talk and get information on all things beautiful, pretty much. You can get information on the show and any beauty-related topic on our BBM channel. So we're asking you to download the BBM app and follow our channel by following the PIN C002EB072. Again, the C is in Charlie, 002, E is in Edward, B is in Boy, 072. And that's BBM.com, and the channel is Beauty Talk with Illusions. And that's it for tonight.
All right. Thank you very much. Well, we'd like to welcome to the show our guest, Ms. Lisa Porter. Hi, Lisa. Welcome to the show.
Hey, you guys. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
How are you?
Doing good. I wanted to, first of all, congratulate you guys on the success of your radio show. I think that's great. And just
thank you
for inviting me to be a guest. I feel honored. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Oh, welcome. We're excited.
Good.
Well,
let's too.
Let's just jump right into the conversation. First, by you just introducing yourself to our audience and just giving us an idea of who you are and how you got started in skincare.
Okay. Well, I am Lisa Klingscale Porter, and since 1996, when I first decided I was going to get an esthetician's license, I have been treating skin for all ethnicities, mostly corrective skincare, so it's more of changing the texture and the appearance of the skin that I'm most interested in, that I'm doing on a daily basis. Over the years, my husband and I, we built a business, Unique Face Options, and we're very proud of it because right now, let's see, we just celebrated our 18th anniversary, so it's been
wow.
A while. Yeah. So
I remember
we're doing,
you had your grand opening.
That's right. I know. Doesn't time fly, Denise? It really goes fast. Yeah, so we've been, just learning and growing and being able to help a lot of people with their skin and to educate our community and to just really let people feel good about themselves, because we know that everybody can achieve and maintain healthy skin for a lifetime if you know what to do. So that's really what my whole goal is and what I strive to achieve every day, is just to make sure when someone walks through that door, they don't walk back out without knowing how to take care of their skin at home, what it is that I do to help them professionally, how we work together, and that usually will set them, in motion, and the light bulb comes on. And, of course, how you feel about the way you look, I think, is directly connected to how much confidence you have, how you feel about yourself in general, how you proceed in life. So really just something as basic as good skincare can really boost you all the way around.
Absolutely. And I love how you refer to it as happy skin. Tell me a little bit. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we do a variety of things. We try to focus on, like I said, the texture and the appearance of the skin. So we do facials. We do, and as far as facials, that's very, very generic or broad. So basically the breakdown of that would be chemical peels, microdermabrasion, acne facials, anti-aging. There are so many different types of facials, and basically I just customize the facial to what the client needs. So when I assess the skin and see what's going on, then I'm able to kind of come up with a plan and explain to the client exactly what I see and what would be the best course of action. So we do all kinds of facials. We do face and body waxing, a little bit less these days because lasers become a little more popular, and I also am a certified laser specialist. And laser, I'll just say, that is, you know, best known for the hair removal, but really and truly it is wonderful for skin as far as skin rejuvenation, which is tightening, acne clearing, pore reducing, skin toning, smoothing. So, and that can be done anywhere on your whole body. So it's not really just the face and neck, but that is probably the most popular. But laser treatments, facials, face and body waxing, eyebrow sculpting. As you know, Denise, the best eyebrow sculpting. so let's see, not to toot my own horn or anything, but let's see. So all the
Lisa
areas.
Lisa is a beast, okay? Let's just get that out there. Lisa is a beast.
Thank you. So, yeah, like brow dyeing or coloring, all of the little details that make the person actually ready for you and Janice for makeup. You know, when they sit in your chair, you want that nice, smooth canvas to work on.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
absolutely.
Right? So that's what I do. I do the step before you guys. I make sure that the skin is totally prepared so that you're not trying to cover and hide so much as you are to enhance or to, you know, take care of the purpose at hand.
So what's your process, Lisa? Like, what's your process to get that skin, you know, ready for us? Like if someone were to come into you and, you know, and they just maybe had a mild case of acne or a really bad case of acne, like what's your process? How do you get them to the point of their skin being, you know, like
clear
totally clear again?
Okay. Only because you use the example of acne, let me just say, first, there really is no cure for acne. What I do is manage it. I totally manage it so that it looks like the person has never had a breakout a day in their life. And the way that I start with that, so, yeah, that's the whole intent. So the way I start with that is I, on the very first visit, like I said, it's all about education. They have a role, and I make sure that I instill that in them, exactly what that role is. So step by step, I explain to them what I'm doing, which is basically cleansing, toning. I do the first exfoliation, which removes skin cells from the first layer or the outer layer of the skin. So it removes dirt, debris, dead skin cells, and we actually get to see, the client and I, how thick, how dark, and how much comes off. So that gives me a real good idea, regardless of how well they say they're taking care of their skin or they, you know, admit that they're not, I can actually kind of guide by that what's really going on. So once I've done that first exfoliation and removed all of the external, then I do a second exfoliation, which is customized based on what they specifically need. For someone with acne, it's usually like a pumpkin or an orange, something that has some salicylic, some vitamin C, some antioxidants, because we want to not only kill the bacteria, but we want it to heal. So we want to use something organic, something that's going to go down underneath the skin, clean it all out, kill the bacteria, provide those vitamins, the healing power, and then I move right into, now this time, after those two exfoliations are done, I know I've gotten everything from on top and underneath, then it's a good time for me to take a look through the magnifying lamp. That's when I can really get a good idea of what are we really working with. Do we have enlarged pores, discoloration, blemishes, scarring? How deep? Are they topical? You know, all of the things, where's the oily areas or the drier areas, the elasticity, how well is that? That's really where I kind of map out the face, is what I call it, and take all my notes. That way, now I'm thinking about future treatments and what they need to be doing at home. So that's where it starts for me. In the meantime, okay, then I can go ahead and do my steaming, check for extractions, mask, moisturizer, sun protection, which is always important, eye and lip serum. All of that is included in that first-time visit. All the time I'm doing the consultation to let them know, very conversationally, like we're doing now, just what you should be doing at home, which is basically there's three steps that anyone would need to know, just very basic, if they would are interested in maintaining or achieving healthy skin for a lifetime. The first step is always just having a good daily regimen, a good daily regimen that you do every morning, every evening. I always list the same five steps. You have to cleanse first, get everything off your skin, whether it's you wear makeup or not. It's just the dirt, the debris, you know, whatever. You guys know, whatever's just on the, you know, your face from the environment, we want to get that all off. The cleanser always changes the pH balance. So we always want to go to step two, which is going to be your prevention step, which is an astringent or a toner. That's going to bring your pH balance back to normal. It's going to seal the cuticle so that we can retain your natural hydration. And then step three is always the resurface and treat step, where we correct whatever's really going on with the skin that's not quite right. So I like to call that one the corrective step. Just we're correcting whatever's not right with the skin. And for those people who come in, you know, and their skin is healthy, and I'm just maintaining it, helping them to maintain it. For them, it's all about clarity. So we just want to maintain the clarity of the skin so they still have a step three that does just that, maintains the clarity. Step four is hydration, just a water-based emulsion that hydrates the skin. And the fifth step is always environmental protection. Has to be an SPF, this broad spectrum, meaning it has both UVA and UVB protection. We always consider A, the aging rays, B, the burning rays. When you have them both, it's broad spectrum, and also with antioxidants, because that's what slows down the aging process. So when you're doing those five steps, which is what I'm explaining to them, you're good to go, because if you do all five of those every morning, then you only need to do the first four at night, and that is a good daily regimen. And then the second step to maintaining and achieving healthy skin is just using the best products for your skin. And that's really based on what is the current condition of your skin, what is the goal you're trying to achieve, and what season are we in. You have to pay attention to those three factors to customize a good plan, right? And then the third and last one is just professional treatments. Make sure you are definitely getting the professional treatments from an esthetician who's removing those dead skin cells. So that's what I'm explaining to them. Now, that's my part. I have to remove those dead skin cells that come up every 28 to 30 days because they're coming up. I don't care who you are. If you have skin, once a month, the skin cells die. They move up to the surface. They have to be removed evenly and consistently so that your products at home will work the way that they're supposed to. That's how you keep the skin smooth and clear. You know how when you guys are putting makeup on people and it kind of gets stuck in the skin, it looks ruddy, or you can feel the texture, the foundation, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a buildup of dead skin cells. Sometimes it's textural where it's like a bump or some type of, you know, something on the skin, a lesion, but when you can just kind of rub it and it's flaking, that's just a buildup of dead skin cells. So on a facial, that's our primary goal. Remove all the dead skin cells from the face, and then everything else you do after, your skin will be more receptive to, and therefore it will do what it's supposed to do and help your skin to clear. So over time, to answer your question, while we're talking about all this and I'm doing all these steps, we're still just on the first visit. They end up going home. They have a better idea of what to do, not because Lisa said so, but because they understand the process now.
That's right. Absolutely.
Right? So they're more, you know, they're more readily to do it because now they know why they're doing it. So once they go home and start working on it daily and they come back to see me, and we set up an interval because some people come back weekly, some every 10 days, 14, 21, until we can get them to that once a month, 30-day, you know, interval. And then slowly but surely, that's your skin clears up. those are the steps, and that is the way to do it, so the skin begins to clear.
And those are the same steps that they have to use to maintain it ongoing. Like if they're not visiting you or someone else, those are still the same steps that they have to do every day just to maintain it.
Exactly. In between,
with the
this
proper
is the
product.
Yes, exactly. That's the way I explain it. I always say, in between visits, your job is to maintain the progress we made today. So when I see you again, I don't want to start over. That's not what we're doing. That's a waste of time. We want to move forward from here. So we want to keep continuing every time I see you. So if you're doing what you're supposed to do at home, then that means that we are continuing to move forward. We're not starting over every time I see you. So, yeah, they've got a job.
Right.
Can we go back a little bit to talking about
I'm sorry, you guys. I can't
you
understand.
You were muffled. Yeah, you were a little muffled. We still can't really understand you.
I can't understand any of it, yeah.
Can you understand me? Can you hear me?
I can hear you clearly. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me just ask this question while she's working that out.
You talked
a little bit, those five steps, you're talking about cleansing and the toner, and you talked about the corrective steps. What's corrective skincare all about?
Corrective skincare is basically the exact opposite of a spa experience. In my best definition, I would say when you go to a spa, you basically are going there, or you should know that you're going to feel good, to be pampered, to have smell good, to rub down, you know, and the facial,
mm-hmm.
just a lot of rubbing and massage, and, you know, it's that kind of thing. It's a fluff facial. When we talk corrective skincare, when you come in, okay, you are going to have extractions. You are going to be educated. We are going to discuss your skin. You're not going to be able, at least on that first visit, to come in and just go to sleep. That comes after the first visit, but then you can go to sleep at least knowing, hey, I know that this is serious, you know, and I know what's going on. But, you know, you go to the spa and it's very relaxing, and you know that they're going to basically just be quiet here and listen to the music or whatever the whole time. But we've created, as you know, that spa environment, but we've kind of brought the doctor's office into it, and that's where the corrective part comes in. The whole goal on every single facial is to either achieve or help maintain healthy skin. So that takes some doing. I mean, there's a couple of different exfoliations. There may be some what I call tingling. Other people may refer to it as burning. But the tingling sensation, you know, from some of the products, you might feel tight, you know, as the mask is tightening. You have to go through the extractions where we're manually pulling things out from the skin that should not be there so that it can go ahead and heal and clear. Some of the different modalities that I use, some of them feel great, you know, and they're not uncomfortable at all, but sometimes there is a little bit, you know, there's no, when they say beauty is sometimes painful. So that's kind of how you know you're in a corrective skincare facility, a boutique like ours.
Nice. Now, can you all hear me clearly?
Yes.
Okay. I was asking the question. I was saying, you were talking a little while ago about choosing the best products for your skin, and you said there were three things that you had to do in order to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Can you go over those three things once more?
Sure. When I'm selecting the product for the client, I'm basing it on the current condition of their skin. So I'm basically looking at what is the problem right now? What is it that's going on that's, you know, that's preventing the skin from being healthy? And then what do we need to do to get it to the healthy state? What is our goal? So I write down, okay, right now the skin is dehydrated topically all over, or it's got enlarged pores, or there's a problem with, say, melasma or sun damage. Whatever the problem is, it didn't just happen. It's been going on. It's something that has accumulated to the point where it has now become very visible, very challenging, right? That's usually why they come to see me, which is what I, you know, always encourage people, hey, while it's still nice and you want to maintain that, that's a good time to see an esthetician too. But when we're choosing those products, I'm looking at where you are, where we need to be, and the season that we're in, so that that way we can adjust. Do we need a little more hydration, or is it hot and humid in summer to where we need a little bit more of less hydration? But the other factor in that, that's a great question, Janice, because the other factor in choosing the correct product is there's the over-the-counter products and there's the professional products. And this is an ongoing, right? That's really the question, I guess, inside of there, too, is the professional products will always have a higher percentage of active ingredients. So if the person like me, when I am recommending these particular products, they are always going to be geared exactly like I told you, based on where your skin is now, where we're trying to go in the season we're in. Because I know all of the products, I helped create some of the products, I know exactly what to recommend. So I'm very, very good at hitting that every time. And then if I need to make adjustments as the skin begins to clear and heal, then I do. Now, on the other hand, when you go to the store and get an over-the-counter product, those are never... hardly ever are you going to find a product that will have a high enough percentage of any active ingredient to make the difference. Not going to really help, not going to really hurt. It stays right about in the middle, which is why people end up buying so many different things over the counter all the time and then get frustrated, right? It's because when they go, you have to consider, when you go to get those products, there is no one standing out in the aisle of CVS, Walgreens, you know, or even the department stores to say, hey, Janice or Denise, come on over. Let me analyze your skin. Let me put you under the mag lamp. Let me see what you need and recommend what you need, and then you come back and I'll check it again. No, you're kind of on your own. You get whatever you want, when you want. You take it home and use it. No instruction from anyone in particular except for what's on the back if the person decides to read it. So you have to think, okay, so the manufacturers of these products, they're not going to put anything too much in there, you know, too high of a percentage of anything, because of the simple fact that these people are buying on their own. They don't even really know what to get, so they could take it home and anything could happen, right? That's the difference between when people go out and just pick something up off a shelf and expect it to do so much and then are disappointed versus you come to a professional like you guys or me. I mean, it's just like you could tell them exactly what they would need as far as makeup or even skin, and that would be a much better recommendation than, say, them going on their own. So the professional products, of course, are going to be the pharmaceutical-grade, technologically advanced skincare systems that definitely change both the texture and the appearance. So they're going to have a much better chance of clearing up their skin and maintaining that clarity by using products that really work. So does that answer what you were asking?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes, yes. And then there was another thing that you said that I thought was so important, because you said that they have a role. And I think when people understand that they have a role in their skincare and in the condition of their skin, I think, you know, that's the first step in you know, getting that education and really understanding not just the process of how to take care of your skin, but understanding your skin, period. You know, like what you see on your face, understanding what it is that you're looking at, understanding, you know, how it gets to that point, understanding how to treat it. Most people, when you're doing makeup, people will come up with all kinds of excuses as to why their skin is in the condition that it's in. You know, they'll talk about they'll talk about the water. You know, in different parts of the country, they'll talk about, you know, it's humid here, it's not humid where I live, and I mean, they'll come up with all kinds of things. But you know, they have to understand that diet plays a role sometimes. You know what I mean?
A lot of this,
you know, going to the drugstore and just buying anything, you know, sometimes that plays a role in the condition of your skin.
You know, a lot of people want to believe that, oh, you know, I want something that's oil-free, you know, but yet they have dry skin.
Right, right. They
you
don't
know what I mean?
Exactly. I know. I'm with you. That's true. That is all true. And that's another, like, during the consultation, I'm asking, well, how much water are you drinking each day? Well, what vitamins are you taking? You know, if you're not taking any vitamins, then you're telling me that you eat between 5 and 7 raw fruits and vegetables a day?
Right.
Most of the time, the answer is no. I say, so you have to supplement what's not in your diet. That has a direct impact on not just your skin, but your whole body.
Exactly.
So, yeah, and then do you smoke? Are you drink? You know, are you a heavy drinker? Or, you know, all of, like you said, it's a lifestyle. It's a lot of things can affect your skin, products just being one of them. But you're absolutely right. The role that they play is, first of all, just knowing that you have a role. Knowing
exactly.
that if you are doing, this is what I tell even the clients come weekly. If even though you come weekly, you have your skin 6 days a week. So you still need to take care of it on a daily basis, because you can't just get away with having your skin taken care of once a week and call it a day, or think, oh, it's going to be okay like this. No, so you can imagine if you're only coming once every 2 weeks or once every 3 weeks or 4 weeks, hey, that gives you even more days to be responsible for taking care of your skin. So, yes, the role that they play is so important, and that's why with me, the first visit is crucial. That's where we get all of that straight and kind of get their buy-in and their understanding. Okay, so we're going to do this together, right? And you know, that's where either they're good to go or, you know, we have our struggle, because even some people, let's say they come for 3 months and they're doing everything they're supposed to do, and their skin, and this is in their own words, looks better than they've ever seen it. Well, sometimes, unfortunately, that very person will just slack off, okay, either not coming as often or at all, or not doing as much at home. It's because they think, oh, it's all fixed now. And then I have to bring out the example. So when you get a new car, a new house, anything, can you think of anything that you can get, even brand new, and not maintain it and it stay that way?
No.
You see what I'm saying? Right. There's nothing. So your skin is no different. We have to maintain it if we want it to continue to look as good as we all want our skin to look.
Yeah. And before, and we can kind of talk about this a little later, but another thing I wanted to add when we were talking about, you know, how much water you're drinking and things like that in your, in your diet, but also you have to think about, are you having 2 bowel movements a day? And a lot of people don't think about that, and they don't think that, you know, there's certain factors in the condition of their skin is affected by that, but it is.
Oh, definitely, because you know that any kind of blockage, if you're not moving your bowels regularly, that is going to show on your face. It's going to come out somewhere, and it's not going to be pretty. So, yes, absolutely, which goes right back, like you said, to diet. If you're eating right and drinking water and making your body function properly, you know, it's going to move the way it should. And that helped a lot. Yes.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, Lisa, I've been waiting all weekend to ask you this question.
okay.
Because I have an actress that I'm working with right now that she has wrinkles under her eyes. And, you know, she doesn't want you to put a lot of product under her eyes, because she says, you know, when she smiles, you can see the lines and all this stuff. But she's dark under her eyes as well. And she needs the product. She needs that product under her eyes.
Yes.
So she's saying, well, maybe we should apply liquid because it doesn't look so bad versus the cream product. Okay, that was true. But when you apply the liquid, it's not heavy enough to cover the darkness. So to satisfy her with the, you know, the wrinkles under her eyes, we put the liquid under her eyes so that she could be happy as far as that's concerned. But meanwhile, I'm not happy because she's dark under her eyes.
Right. But it's like a catch-22 that you have.
Exactly. But now that I'm saying it out loud, you know, the darkness under her eyes may be okay for the character that she's playing. You know, she's playing a mother who has a son that's in a coma. So, you know, that may be up to you, though, is what can you do about these wrinkles? Because, and I know that, and I've been reading some things, and I know that skin rejuvenation, and maybe you could talk about that as well, but I know skin rejuvenation is one thing that can kind of help with wrinkles. What can you really do about wrinkles?
Okay, so this goes back to it's so much easier to maintain than to get something back. So let's emphasize that point real quick, and then we'll get into, so you've got two situations, the darkness and the wrinkles. First, we have to know and keep in mind that around the eyes and on the neck are the only two places on our bodies that do not have oil glands.
Yes.
So we know that these two areas are drying out faster than anything else. So that's the reason they always, show signs of aging faster than everything else. So for the person who starts seeing, this is what's happening. This is what happens usually. When they're not using an eye and a neck cream, because those are oil-based. Those are not like a moisturizer that's water-based.
Right.
They're oil-based, right? They're heavier just for those two areas to give the oil that we lack naturally. So, so now we have the person who hasn't been using that, right? And so this just kind of crept up on them. Their eyes are now changing. The first thing they would have noticed is that around their eyes is always dry. It's always dry. And that's still, you know, sometimes it's not enough. So anything dry is going to start looking darker. Okay? After it stays dry and starts to get dark, then it's going to change textures. So it is going to wrinkle, or either it's going to sag or it's going to sink in. But it is going to change textures next. So you get three warnings. Okay, you get the dryness first, and then you get the discoloration, usually, and then the texture will change. And all of this is screaming, we need some oil here. We need some eye cream. You know, we need neck and eye cream because it's happening in both areas. So now we get to the point where all of this is happening, you really haven't done anything, and now, especially you're on film, and it, with HD, my goodness, you know, you're not able to hide a whole lot, right? that's the other thing you guys are dealing with. So the catch-22 is you put on the liquid. Yes, the wrinkles don't set in and get emphasized. However, it's not dark enough to cover the discoloration. So that's one of those things where it's great that you can use it in the scene and kind of work it to your advantage. But really and truly, what can you do about wrinkles? You can help. You can notice the signs and do something prior to them getting that bad. Once they get that bad, you're absolutely right. Laser skin rejuvenation or LED. The LED, there are two. That the green light LED is perfect for discoloration, hyperpigmentation, melasma. It considerably will lighten that area. The red LED with the current will smooth out the wrinkles. So it'll take both colors to do color and wrinkles, whereas laser skin rejuvenation will do color and wrinkles all at the same time. So it's one of those things where now it's got to really be worked on. Now it's going to have to be a real task, you know. It's going to have to be looked at. But you guys, it's never too late to start using the eye cream immediately.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Encourage
her to start using it right away. Yes.
So would you also say that part of the discoloration comes in from, you know, once that skin starts to become dry, you know, when you become dry, it kind of itches a little bit. And so, you know, you have people that start rubbing.
Yes.
You know, rubbing and scratching and pulling, you know.
And
so
you know
you
what
think
they
about
think?
The wrinkling.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, and they think they're just dry. I mean, they think they're tired. That's all.
Right.
Just tired
right.
eyes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's really, yeah, it's like the little signs you kind of miss. But when they start, if you know, I guess you're not doing anything with them, it's possible you don't know that you should, but usually your makeup artist, especially if you're in film, is telling you constantly, you know, mm-hmm. about the eye area and probably giving nice recommendations and things like that. So it, people, I just noticed really in these 18 years, just in my own experience, don't really respond until it's 911. Do you guys
right.
see that too?
Right, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. Yep.
So that, you know, there's only so much that we can say, but it's just a matter of, again, goes back to their role. Every day, twice a day, that eye and neck cream is very, very important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Now, can we talk a little bit about the different skin types and a little bit about the ingredients that we can use to kind of help those different
sure.
skin types?
Okay, so sometimes people have a little difficulty in determining their skin type because very few people, when you're applying their makeup, you might notice that they're oily in that T-zone, but drier around the outer part. They
uh-huh.
have, you know what I'm saying? Like there's the part that has the enlarged pores, which will tend to be a little oilier because that's what that means, that the pores are blocked long enough and there's an abundance of oil coming from underneath and it can't come out, it's going to start to settle in the pore. It's going to stay down there, stuck, and the pore is going to become larger to accommodate the oil. So that's how we get those enlarged pores. So and it's an easy fix. As long as you keep the pores cleaned out, the dead skin cells removed, and the oil can come up and out, the pores don't have any reason to stay that big anymore. They'll become smaller. Even if they don't become baby fine anymore, they'll become smaller. So when you're determining your skin type, you want to look at your skin in areas. You want to say, how does my forehead look? How does down that center of my face where the nose and the chin, how does that look? You know, what are the cheeks doing? What about that lower chin area and around the sides of the cheeks? So normally you want to go with what is going on with most of the skin when you're selecting your cleanser. So if most of the skin is, say, oily or acneic, you do want a gel or foam-type cleanser, okay? You want something that's going to absorb that excess oil. And you also want, if it's a little more acneic or broken out, blackheads, things like that, you want something like salicylic acid or glycolic acid because that's going to cut that bacteria. So for the person who needs something a little more strenuous, we're talking salicylic acids, glycolic acids, alpha hydroxy acids. Those kind of things are very, very good for problematic skin. For just an oily skin, the foam, it doesn't have to be very strong because you don't want to strip it. That's actually probably the worst thing that oily or acneic skin clients can do or people can do is over-dry the outside of the skin because it's a topical, right? Because all they're doing is basically telling the oil glands, hey, guys, we're too dry up top. Make even more oil. So every time that outer layer of the skin becomes dehydrated or too dry, then it makes the oil glands work even harder. And we're already talking about overactive sebaceous glands. So just a nice foam or gel cleanser is good for just an oily skin person. Then when you get to more of a normal skin person, majority of the skin is normal. Then for cleansers, you know, you can go with based on what the season is. You know, if you might want something a little more
right.
gel, or you might something more creamy for the winter. And then
right.
dry person, of course, is always going to go with the creamy cleansers. And that's the way we go through each step. So when you're after you kind of figure out what is going on with the biggest part of my skin, then you still, though, no matter, even if you're oily or acneic and you're doing the gel cleansers or the foam and they have a little salicylic or something in it, you have to go to your next step, which is the toner or the astringent. You want to, if you're oily or acneic, go with the astringents. If you're normal to the dry or or aging, go with the toners. The corrective skincare step three, you want to specifically use the product that's going to, say, even up your skin tone or decrease that pore size, which are going to be your vitamin C's, your alpha-lipoic acids, your coenzyme Q10s, your peptides. Those are going to be your anti-aging and pore-minimizing type ingredients. And then you can move right into moisturizer. And moisturizer, hands down, everybody needs it because, again, if you're oily and acneic, you do not want to be drier. You do not want to skip that moisturizer. You're going to have even, you know, more oil to come. But everybody would need oil. And you mentioned before, you guys said something about that oil-free moisturizer is not always the best thing, and you're exactly right. Oil-free moisturizers really and truly could be limited to those who are so excessively oily, and it's summertime and humid, and they're very active. Say they jog, and they, you know, they're always on the go, and they sweat or perspire a lot. That's a good oil-free candidate. But for most people, a good water-based moisturizer with vitamins in it will just be perfect. Because if you've already used the cleanser with the salicylic acid, we've already pulled out the extra, right? If you've used an astringent after that, we've once again pulled out that excess oil. So now it's time to put some stuff back in. And that moisturizer is the best step to start doing it. And then the last step, which is your SPF, like I said, you just want to make sure it's broad-spectrum protection. You want to make sure it has antioxidants in it, and it should only be for the face specifically, and that's really just a layer on top of all of that to seal and to protect you to have a, from the sun and the environment so that you have a barrier between your skin and the environment. And then you're ready for makeup or nothing at all. You know, you're good to go. But the ingredients... it's really always the same ones in terms of, it's just not then a matter of what is the percentage of it, and that has to do with what's a professional product versus an over-the-counter. But, yeah, those are the ingredients that will make the difference on the skin for each type.
Now, Lisa, you mentioned, like, the five steps, you know, the key to, you know, a lifetime of healthy skin earlier. Of those steps, you know, because each step requires a product. And we know that the professional products are better than the over-the-counter products. So if, if we're limited to how much we can spend or how much we can buy when it comes to the professional products, out of all of those steps, we know it has to start there, but besides your cleanser, of all of those five steps, is there something that you could get that you could have that you could skip if you had to, or must we do all of those things?
Okay, that's a good question because you're exactly right. Realistically, everybody is not going to be able to walk right out and get everything on the spot. And so they always want to know, okay, what can I start off with or what can I, you know, get right now that will make the biggest difference? The answer is yes, you definitely need all of them because each step has its own job. And whatever it is that you do not have, that is going to be what you're not getting, just that simple.
Okay.
But if you had to get just part of it or you had to start off with something or you wanted to kind of ease your way in, cleansing and toning, it goes together. If you cleanse, you have to tone or do the astringent because you've got to get that pH balance back up and seal the cuticle so that it doesn't take away the fact that you just washed your face because everything's getting right back in those pores. So cleansing and toning is all the step one and two are hand in hand. I would say you would even be better off skipping the corrective step, going straight to moisturizer, and putting a sun protection on. Keep it simple, but keep it clean where you're getting that balance, cleansing, toning, moisturizing, and which is hydrating, and protection. That would be as minimized, I think, as I would recommend. And then think about if you have those steps at least and you're just doing the basics, you get acclimated to that. And then, two, later on, it's much easier just to stick that corrective step back in, you know, to do that. But unfortunately, there is no product that exists. I'm not going to say that I know of because the way products are made, as soon as you start saying, oh, this is a 3-in-1, this is your cleanser, toner, and the moisturizer, or cleanser, toner, and the corrective all in one, not only does it not make sense, but you got to know that the way products are made, every if you have a product for just one particular step, it can have the highest percentage of the active ingredient for that particular thing. So that way it has the efficacy that you're looking for. In other words, it's going to work the way that it should. Now, if you add the cleanser and the toner now in one bottle, now you're going to have to decrease the percentage of that active ingredient. You see what I'm saying? For each of those, in order to put them in the same bottle. So now you're not getting the same efficacy had you separated them and took the percentage of the active ingredient up to where it should have been. So when you start using a product that's all-in-one or three-in-one or whatever else is out there, it just doesn't make as much sense. It's not going to be as good or as potent as it would be if it were separated and individual, in the five steps. So unfortunately, there is no just a couple of products, and, oh, these will do it. It really is a step-by-step process.
Well, let me ask you also, you mentioned, at Unique Face Options, you guys service all ethnicities. Are there any skincare issues that are particularly related to just one ethnicity in general?
I would say yes. I would definitely say that sun damage is more prevalent in the Caucasian clients. And the funny thing about that is even if as adults they no longer tan or sun, layout and suntan and all that, we get most of our sun damage by the time we're 14, and most people don't realize that. So if you think about it, when you're younger and running around and playing at the beach or the pool or whatever, no one really thought about, hey, come on and put this sun protection on. It's just kids outside playing. But in retrospect, that is where the damage comes in. So when we look as estheticians under a Woods lamp, we can see even for the person who hasn't started to wrinkle or even get the age spots yet, the freckling, the browning from what the sun, how it damages the skin, we can see it show up on the Woods lamp. And that also is another tool to allow us to see how to treat it, like what to start doing right now to reverse that damage. So I would say sun for sure because, of course, they do the most tanning. I would say for people from island-type areas, warmer climates, Philippines, Bahamas, I don't know, island-y-type places like that, they seem to have more of the melasma. Indians, there's more melasma there. And that seems to be a cultural or genetic type disposition, I guess. And then, like I said, just with the Caucasians, I would say definitely the sun damage. And then I would say for African-American skin, more discoloration, more hyperpigmentation, for sure. That would be the way I would classify, like, what are, to answer your question as far as what is more prevalent in each ethnicity, those would be the way that I see it happen the most.
Gotcha. Now, how do we talk black people to using sunscreen?
Wow, that's a great question. Isn't that, though? That is a great question because we seem to think that for some reason we have some kind of shield from the sun, some kind of automatic, born, shield, which we do not. Let me just make that absolutely clear. We do not. We have skin like everybody else. So we all need protection. No, we're not laying out there, but that's not the point because even if you get indirect exposure, which is what we all get, just getting from our house to the car, to the gas station, to the grocery store, to the post office, whatever, we're always, even sitting in traffic, which we do a lot here in Atlanta, right? Right through the window, right through the window, the sun comes in, or if we have the window open, we're always getting indirect exposure. So once you explain to the person you're talking to that everybody needs sun protection unless you live in a cave, then maybe no, you would never get exposed to the sun, so you can forget about it. But if you don't live in a cave, then yes, you are a candidate for sun protection like everybody else. And really, the more that the skin is taken care of and it doesn't have the pileup of dead skin cells and all that, the more the sun protection is required or needed. simply because your skin is even more sensitive to the sun because you have nice, live, healthy cells that you're exposing to it without any protection. So I just try to really break it down to you don't live in a cave, right? You did have to come here in your car and get out and walk through the parking lot. You know, so you did see the sun, right? Because when you see the sun's seeing you too. And that's really how you want to look at it is if the sun is out, I'm getting some type of rays from that, UVA or B or both, and I need to have my skin protected from that. But it is an uphill struggle. I'm not going to tell you it's easy. Okay?
Right.
Yeah, it's not easy.
If you had to give Day Woman advice, or not advice, but what would you say to the everyday woman just in general about the importance of good skin and taking care of your skin to achieve good skin?
I would definitely say, because I talk to so many people every day. I think the essence of it is just take a look forward. How do you want to look as you grow older, okay? Because your face is something that you cannot cover up. Even though you can put on makeup, it's not going to cover a texture. It can only cover discoloration, things like that, but it can't cover the texture, just like we were talking about earlier. So you have to think, if your skin, like people say, my skin's not in that bad of shape. Well, that's good. Let's get it in shape, then. It shouldn't take much if it's not that bad. Let's get it healthy and then just maintain it because that's going to be a lot easier. So I always say to people who aren't quite, I would say, educated enough about skincare to realize that it's everybody's, everybody needs it. It's not just certain people or you wait till it gets bad. I always make sure that I let them know you need to look at how you want to look as you grow older, okay? You need to look at how, look on down the road. What you're doing right now will absolutely directly have an impact on how nice, how well, how good your skin looks later on. And I guarantee if you're not putting in the time and energy now, then later on you're going to end up spending more time and more money trying to get back what you had. So it's a good idea to start right now. That's probably the best advice I can give is that you might think it looks great now, you don't have to do much, but look on down the road because it is coming if you're not doing anything right now. It's coming. Yeah.
It's coming. Well, speaking of down the road and getting older, what are some of the signs of aging skin? You know, like, you know, somebody looks up and they see those wrinkles that we were talking about earlier. But is there something? Are there some signs that before it actually gets to the wrinkles?
To that point, absolutely. Mm-hmm. The elasticity. When you push your fingers or into your face and take them away, your skin should pop right back out. If it, you can move your fingers and your skin is still trying to come up slowly but surely, that's too slow, okay? That is dehydrated skin. The way that we grow older is by drying out. So when we go through that process where I told you the cells turn over every 28 to 30 days, they die and come up to the surface, it's called the keratinization process. That keratinization process actually starts to slow down. Because every time it happens, we actually get a gust of oil, too. We get to replenish everything. Well, as we get older, it goes from 28 to 30 days to, like, 32 to 35 days to 36 to 40 days. So even though we see our skin every day, we don't see it like, say, somebody who sees us once a year or once every 2 years. That's when they look at us like, wow, you know, what happened to you? And we're like, what? You know? And then you're like, oh, I don't look as good as my friend does or my sister does. So that's usually when people notice the changes because what they see every day becomes the norm. So they do miss some stuff. So that's a great question. So what they want to do, anybody would want to just pay attention to the way the skin feels. Is it dewy? Is it moist? Is it supple? When you put your finger, like press into the skin, does the skin bounce right back up? That's what you want to pay attention to because you can actually catch it before the elasticity really gives way and you see mm-hmm. that sag or those wrinkles, you can start rehydrating it, exfoliating it. So you pay attention to the texture and you pay attention to how moist it is. That would be what I'd say the signs are.
Gotcha. Wow. You know, sometimes you think you know a lot or you think you know it all, but I am learning so much from this conversation tonight.
Good. I'm glad.
Absolutely.
I mean, because let me tell you, though, I told you at the beginning, we're always growing and learning because
mm-hmm.
there's always somebody new or something new that's coming around that you're like, wow. But I always see it as a challenge, like, okay, roll up my sleeves. This is new. This is different. You know, I try what normally works and something will give me a curveball. But, yeah, you're right. There's always something new to learn. There's always, as long as you love what you do and you're doing it to your best ability and you're doing it well, then there's always something new to learn. So that's good because us talking like this, hopefully a lot of people are learning.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Is there a service at your salon that you don't offer but you kind of wish you did because it's something that, well, let me just put it this way. Are there any services that you wish you offered at your salon that are new, you know, like how there's all these new things coming out with skin? Is there something new that's out that you don't offer at your salon that you wish you did?
I guess I can honestly answer that by saying no, because anything
mm-hmm.
that comes out that I always research. I always
mm-hmm.
go and either get it done after I've read about it or check into it, take the class, whatever. So there's a lot of classes I've taken that I do not offer that particular modality because it wasn't a good fit or I think it's fly by night. I can see where it doesn't have a longevity.
Gotcha.
So, no, I do try a lot of things, but as the years go on, I have added consistently right up
mm-hmm.
to laser treatments. Everything that I see has real merit, that there is some real stability and some improvement, some long-term benefits. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, right now, you know, a lot of people, as you guys probably have seen now with doing the makeup, they're getting fillers. They're getting
uh-huh.
the Restylane, right, the Botox, all of those fillers. Well, that's something that we could easily bring someone else in, like an RN, a PA, to do that. But we're not interested in doing that. It is the latest and greatest. But I also see that while I'm doing the facials now, I'm feeling lumps. And I'm saying, so what, did you get a filler recently or did some, you know, what's going on with your skin here? Oh, yeah, I got some a little bit of a filler to fill in this laugh line, this nasolabial line, and it clumped up. But I have to massage it every day, and it'll eventually disappear. So I'm starting to see more of, or either their skin wasn't that bad to begin with, their creases and folds were not that accentuated, so they
mm-hmm.
thought they'd try it. They thought they might try a filler, and they do that a couple of times. And then when they don't get it, the crease goes in further than it ever did. So I'm not so comfortable with that as far as I'm not sure that it's been out long enough or there's enough research or people who have gotten it done for a long enough period to say, oh, this is safe and effective for long term. And I think that's, so, no, there's not really any. I keep an eye on everything as best I can. You know, I read a lot. I'm very, very interested in skin in all aspects. But, no, right now there is nothing that I think that is very, very effective or available that we don't have. We do
gotcha.
Probably the most essential services that are available.
Gotcha. Now, are there any, what would you suggest, or what would you say, rather, to makeup artists out there? What would you say to makeup artists about skin and what we need to pay attention to as makeup artists? Because there are a lot of makeup artists out there who
mm-hmm.
they
just apply makeup. And
yeah.
That's all that they do. And the ones that are not estheticians may not pay so much attention to skin. And then there are some who are estheticians who may just kind of, you know, they forget the fact that they're estheticians and they just focus
right.
more on makeup,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yep.
What would you say to makeup artists? What would you say that we need to pay attention to, and what do we need to start, what do we need to start doing?
This is what I would say, because that's really interesting that you asked. I really think that when you're in a position to work with anybody's skin, okay, whether you're an esthetician or not, if you're an esthetician, you know better, and you
mm-hmm.
really should have those evenly matched up to where I'm an esthetician and a makeup artist, so that's good, because that's even more credentials when you're applying this makeup. But regardless, you don't miss an opportunity. I would say to any makeup artist, don't miss an opportunity to talk to the person whose face you're working on for the long term. Like the makeup, yeah, they'll wash it off that night, okay, or whatever, into the morning. But their skin is what you saw up close and personal, and you may be the only opportunity or the person who is able to say, hey, do you use sun protection? Or you notice how the makeup won't apply evenly here, or it's a little bit ruddy and getting caught in this part is peeling up. You know, you'll get a chance to talk to them about moisture and about exfoliation. You'll get a chance to talk to them about that discoloration or, like you said, around the eyes and educate them about the eye and the neck area not having any oil glands. I would absolutely say don't miss an opportunity to give someone something good, some recommendation or advice, something about their skin that they can take home with them. That's going to make you memorable, first of all. They're going to be like, you know, that one makeup artist is always making sure that my skin is moisturized before I even put on the makeup. They go tell me to use this little scrub before I come and sit in their chair because they want the makeup to go on smooth. That's who they're going to run to, whether they're a principal or a extra. They're going to want to be in your chair, you know, if at all possible, because they're going to be like, you know, she always does a little extra or says something or makes sure I take my makeup off at the end of the night. And Denise, I even got that comment about you, by the way, from one of your actors that you sent, that you always make sure the makeup comes off. You remind them, and you really are good about that.
Okay.
That's an excellent. The fact that someone thinks enough to even remember that you are that way, that's excellent. That is how you build your reputation. That is how you separate yourself from others
right.
that may not be noticing or taking those opportunities. So I would just say that, yeah, and even if you mention a little something and you're not really into it, you're a makeup artist that's not really an esthetician or doesn't know that much, partner with an esthetician that you can send people to, that you feel comfortable knowing this person knows what they're doing and you definitely need to go see them. You know what I mean? So that there is some,
well,
definitely say that as a makeup artist, you guys have the perfect opportunity to make those little, soft, subtle, you know, very helpful recommendations and suggestions that could make all the difference.
Right.
And
it says a lot about
who you guys are, right? It says a lot about this isn't just my job and I'm just going to put this makeup on, but I do want you to look your best, and I do want you to know that this may be an issue so that you can catch it now, you know?
Right. Like I always say, I'm an esthetician first, although I work as a makeup artist, but skincare is always and always will be, you know, my main focus.
Yep.
That's going to determine what I do as a makeup artist. So I always have to, you know, mention skincare. And you know, it's only going to make your job easier. You know what I mean? It's only going to make you better as a makeup artist if the skin is great. I mean, who doesn't want a perfect canvas to work on?
Exactly. I think it makes perfect sense. I think it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, last question, Lisa.
Okay.
What is beauty to you?
Beauty to me is how you feel about the way you look. Because beauty's not going to look the same on everybody. I mean, I can tell you this honestly and quickly and easily, because the fact that everybody's idea of beauty is a little bit different. It comes from within. It's what your idea. My idea is just how I feel. If I feel like I look my best and I know that I've done the steps that's required or what I need to do based on all the conversation we just had, then I think that's beautiful, regardless of what someone else may look at. If your skin is well taken care of, and that's how I look at my own as well, if it's well taken care of, that means it's going to be, if I'm doing all the steps, I'm drinking my water, I take my vitamins, you know, I watch what I do, how I touch my face, you know, I take the time that's required, that's beautiful. That my skin is clear, you know, it's going to be blemish-free, it's going to be even-toned, aging very gracefully, very soft and supple. So I'm a big, big skin person as far as just noticing, even in a grocery store. I just think it's beautiful when a woman can wear no makeup at all and the skin looks so completely flawless and beautiful. You know that makeup would just enhance and be perfect, you know, just be beautiful too, but there's just something to me about not having anything on at all and just feeling good about it, you know?
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. It was fun talking to you guys.
And I still have more questions, so.
you'll invite me again another day? Another night?
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, that's a deal then. I'll be glad to come back anytime you guys want, and we'll go into the next chapter.
Uh-oh.
Definitely.
There's always more. There's always more.
Oh,
and you guys are both beautiful inside and out. I appreciate so much, again, you inviting me. And also, again, just congratulations. I think this is great what you guys are doing, because you're just down to earth, bringing it home, letting people know what the deal is, how to look and feel their best in all aspects, whether it's beauty, fashion, nails, hair, whatever. And you guys are right up front and close and personal. You are fantastic at what you do, makeup professionals, and you work with all kinds of people every day, and I admire you both because I know personally for both of you, you've done exactly what you set out to do, and you're doing it very well. And always, always great things are said about you both. So congratulations to you guys.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that, Lisa. I really do.
All right.
Listen, I'd like to ask you to go off of Facebook because I just saw another question pop up. So I like to post that on the Beauty Talk online page.
Okay.
If you could go out there and answer it, I would greatly appreciate it. So Sharon Tina, I see your question, and I'm going to put it out on the Beauty Talk Facebook page for Lisa to answer.
I will absolutely do that.
And I'm going to turn it over to my sister to see if there's anything you want to say before we go.
Really quickly, just encourage you all to follow us on Facebook, which is the Beauty Talk Online Radio page. You can follow us on Instagram at beauty_talk_media, and here on Twitter at beauty_talk.
All right. So, again, thanks, everyone, for listening and tuning in. If you like tonight's show, please go out on our profile page and mark it as a favorite. You can leave a comment there. Or, as always, you could join us on the Facebook fan page, Beauty Talk Online, and put your questions or comments out there. And I'm going to put Sharon Tina's question out there for Lisa to answer. But, again, everyone, join us next Sunday night at 9 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. And so until then, everyone have a beautiful and blessed week. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.